Thank you, sir. All right. Hopefully you can hear me. I'm usually not one to just stand behind the pulpit. I move around. It was said that Billy Sunday used to walk 4 miles every time he preached. So I tend to move. I speak with my hands. I move around a bit. I just want to say it's all a very great blessing to be here. You have loved on your pastor. They just speak so many praises of all of you. You guys have done such a wonderful job. They are so delighted to be here, and it's such a blessing to be able to see their work in the ministry and all the work that you guys have done. And also, you farmers, thank you for all the work you do. It's often unnoticed. It's often unappreciated. But was it Hayden Fry that said America needs farmers? I have that on my truck. I have a little sticker. Yes, I'm in Wisconsin, and yes, I still like Iowa, and yes, I take my life in my own hands when I do that, right? So it is an honor to be here. I am a doctor. My wife and I, the Lord's given us 3 children. I hope they all turn out like their mother. We have a 10-year-old, Nova. He's with me today. And we have a girl who's 8. Her name is Selah. And we have a 5-year-old, Luca. And he is, hopefully we're going to keep him out of jail by the time he's up to 18. He's just a firecracker, right? Just like his mom. You figured that out, right? I am a medical doctor. I work at a hospital in Wisconsin. I get to take care of people that need help, right? And as Christians, don't we all need help? God is the great physician. Many times in the Bible, it describes that. Did you know we would not know the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ had it not been for Dr. Luke, who told us the story? We wouldn't know, right? It was a doctor who had to write that. And can you believe it? We can read his writing. It's amazing, right? So, this morning, I'm going to speak to you a message that, honestly, we had something else prepared. But God worked in the heart of your pastor and myself, and he felt this would be more appropriate for all of us today. I am not speaking this message because I think it's something you need. I'm telling you it's something that God has changed me with. Those are the best messages, by the way, that when God's impressed upon your heart, that you just want to share it. So that's what I want to do with you this morning. This morning, I would like to speak on a topic about a man. Now, I don't know about you, but when I read a book, I put myself in that book. When I listen to a movie, I put myself in that movie. When I'm in a situation, I put myself in it. So I'm going to invite you to do that today. I'm going to invite you to put yourself in the narrative. We're just going to look at a handful of verses, but I promise you that if we really look at this, I really believe that God is really going to open our eyes to some amazing things. I love miracles. Now, some people think miracles don't happen every day, but they do. I see them. Yes, I watch people die in front of me. I take care of people. My job is not to keep everyone alive. There is a time to be born and a time to die. There's a time. Jesus was born to die. You and I are born and we will die, but Jesus was born to die. The story we're going to look at today is about a man named Bartimaeus. Well, we don't know a whole lot about him. No. We are going to be in Mark. Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10 about a man named Bartimaeus. Now, in the Gospel of Mark, there are 30 miracles that are recorded in all 4 Gospels, 30 of them. And they all have to deal with healing miracles, things that the Lord did, whether he said, whether he spoke, whether he spit on the ground and put, you know, mud on their body and healed them. So up to this point in Mark chapter 10, there have been 18 miracles in Mark that have already happened. Of these 18 miracles, this is the last one recorded. Out of all the miracles that Jesus performed, there are only 2 of the people that are named by name. One of them was Lazarus, and the other one is our man that we find here in this story, Bartimaeus. Mark chapter 10, Mark chapter 10, beginning in verse 46. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. Jesus and his apostles and a whole group of disciples are traveling the Jericho Road. The Jericho Road was between Jericho and Jerusalem. It was between these two towns. It was 17 miles. And in those 17 miles, it dropped 3,600 feet. It was very winding. You can see in this picture here that, it would be easy that if you didn't watch what you were doing, you could fall down the ravine. You could easily scrape up yourself. This was not, you know, the highways that we have today. This was the Jericho Road. It's very descending. It's very steep in places. And you can tell that all through there, there were roads that were very winding. You know, you can see it go all in through there and different roads. And you could see that there were some layers about how people would be there. But on the way there, there would be beggars. Now, beggars would not go to a place where there wasn't any people, right? Because if you are begging, then you want to go where there's a lot of people. So the reason that there's a lot of people on this road is that the Passover is happening. The Passover was when those folks from the lineage, they came to Jerusalem to sacrifice. So you can imagine that this road is full of all kinds of animals. It's full of sheep. It's full of goats. They would have had turtle doves. They would have had these animals that they would have taken because they were going to be sacrificed. So you can imagine, you could hear the bleating of all the animals. Those of you that are farmers and have animals and you wake up, you know they're out there because you can hear them. So Bartimaeus knows that as he's on that highway side begging, he knows that there's all these people going by, and he opens his hands or has some kind of a hat or some kind of a basket, and he is living off the benevolence of these other people. The Jericho Road was very dirty, very dusty, an easy place for robbers to take care of the beggars, an easy place. I mean, imagine, all a robber would have to do would be up there and watch him come, and he knew when they were going to come around, and all he'd have to do was jump on them, beat them up, take their money, and nobody was going to help them, nobody was going to fend for them. We learn in verse 46, there was a great number of people there. We learned that Bartimaeus was blind. If you have your blanks there on your handouts, then you can take notes. The first word is that Bartimaeus had a problem. Bartimaeus had a problem. Who can tell me what his problem was? What was his problem? Rich, he was blind. Now, being blind was a problem back then. He couldn't work. He couldn't go out in the field and work. He couldn't be a tent maker. He couldn't build buildings. He couldn't do that. He was living off the kindness and generosity of the other people. That's what he was doing. He had a problem. Okay? Now, blind people can be identified pretty easily. They often have a stick and they're moving it in front of them because they know if they get there and they tumble and fall, that's going to be a problem, right? They're going to hurt themselves because they can't see like you and I can see. Their depth perception is not there. They are relying on their other senses. In America, approximately about 1% of people in America are blind. Perfect vision is 20/20 vision. That's perfect vision. Those of you that were old enough, you remember Carl Yastrzemski? Not that you saw him play, but you remember his name. Carl Yastrzemski had 20/10 vision. Carl Yastrzemski had an unbelievable ERA. It said that when the pitchers would take the baseball and they would throw it, and when they would release it right here, Carl Yastrzemski at the plate could see which way the ball was turning, and he knew what kind of a ball it was, and he could wait. If it was a curveball, he could hit a curveball. If it was a fastball, he knew it was coming, and he could swing right at the exact moment. He had 20/10 vision. Legally blind in America is 20/200. That's legally blind. You can't drive. There are other things you can't do, right? 20/200 is legally blind. Blindness can happen from all different kinds of causes. You could be born blind. You could have a condition where blindness could affect you later. Many of the hymns that you sing were written by a lady who was blind. Her name is Fanny Crosby. Fanny Crosby was blind from a little girl. Some quack doctor, you got to watch out for them doctors, I'm telling you. Some quack doctor came to their house and put an eye drop in there and said, "Oh, I'm a doctor. I know what to do. You pay me some money and I'll fix Fanny's eyes." He put this fake drop in there. She was blind. She never saw again. Fanny Crosby lived all of her life blind. She went to the New York School of the Blind. She was there so long that she went to school. She actually became the president. She married another blind man. They had children. They were not blind. But Fanny got to meet more presidents than any other person alive. She would memorize passages of scripture. She would memorize things that she wrote, songs, and she would recite them all by memory because she can't read it. All by memory, she would recite it. And she was the most requested speaker of her time. You know that many of the songs that you sing in your hymnal were written by Fanny Crosby. Just because you're blind doesn't mean you can't serve God. Just because you have a problem doesn't mean, well, God can't use me now. He puts me on the shelf and I'm no good. That's not God. God's in the restoring business. That's what he's good at. But you see, Bartimaeus had a problem. His problem was that he was blind. Now, blind people can't work, right? Bartimaeus here, he's resorted to begging. So where is Bartimaeus? Bartimaeus is outside of the city. It says they went to Jericho. He went to Jericho with his disciples. There was a great number of people. He sat by the highway side begging. He's on the thoroughfare that we looked at on the Jericho Road. That's where he's at. He's not in a shelter. He's not in a rescue mission. He's not in someone's house. I mean, no one has befriended Bartimaeus. He's blind. I mean, what could he do for them? He's just extra baggage. That's all Bartimaeus is. So what does Bartimaeus do? He's begging outside of the city. He's relying on other people that have money. Because remember, they're going to Jerusalem for the Passover. They're going to sacrifice. They're going to kill the animals. And they're going to obey God. They're on this long thoroughfare. And he hears a whole group of people that are coming. He hears them. So Bartimaeus, notice in verse 47. And when he heard it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Well, here's what Bartimaeus did. Here's your next. Oh, I always do that. Here's how eyesight works. I don't know. As a doctor, you just got to explain things, right? So light. Did you know you can't see without light? Did you know you can't take a picture without light? Right? It's called the aperture on your camera. If it's a really big lens, you're trying to absorb the light to take a picture, right? So light comes in, it hits the lens, and it hits something called the photoreceptors. Those photoreceptors send a signal to your brain, and the brain says, oh, I know what that is. That's a zebra. Oh, I know what that is. That's a basketball. Oh, I know who that is. That's so-and-so. Oh, I know this. When you look at something, you recognize it. That whole complex process is how eyesight works. So here's the technical definition. When light hits the retina, a light-sensitive layer of tissue in the back of the eye, those are called photoreceptors, they turn the light into electrical signals. Those signals travel through the retina, from the retina through the optic nerve to the brain. It turns the signals into images that you see. I would never hold up a giraffe and tell my son it's a butterfly because it's not a butterfly. But if I told him his whole life that a giraffe really is a butterfly, if he got to be 42 years old like me, he would say, oh, that's a butterfly. And we'd all say, what? You're nuts. But his eyes would be able to see. Bartimaeus, he hears that Jesus is coming. So here's what Bartimaeus does. Bartimaeus wants a remedy for his problem. He wants a remedy. He had a problem and now he wants a remedy because what does he do? In verse 47, and when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Bartimaeus hears that people are coming and he hears that it's Jesus. So I bet that Bartimaeus has heard about Jesus. You see, Jesus is nearing the end of his ministry. He's nearing the end of his time here on earth during that time. And I'm sure that Bartimaeus had heard that Jesus has already fed 5,000. Jesus has already fed the 4,000. Jesus has already raised Lazarus. Jesus has already raised Jairus' daughter. Jesus has already done all these other things. I'm sure that Bartimaeus had heard that. I'm sure that that was something going through his mind. And as he's sitting there, blind people have something called spatial awareness. If you were to close your eyes, you could hear things better because you have a heightened sense of hearing. It's called spatial awareness. Because you hear things. Oh, that's a dog. Oh, I hear that. That's somebody wrinkling their papers. Oh, that's someone clicking their pen. Oh, I hear. Because other senses are heightened. Well, that's what Bartimaeus did. He hears that all these people are coming by. And what does he do? He hears that it's Jesus. So he cries, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Bartimaeus had a problem, and Bartimaeus wanted a remedy for his problem. Not only did he want a remedy for his problem, there's something else. Bartimaeus knew Jesus could help him. He knew that. Because what does it say? Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. In verse 48, and many, not just a few, not some, many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Bartimaeus knew that Jesus could help him. He knew it. He knew that this one from Jesus of Nazareth, he knew that this guy could help him. He knew it. Now, it's very interesting in our text because Bartimaeus says, Jesus, thou son of David. Son of David is a prophetic term. Has somebody ever made a promise to you and never kept it? They have. I've made a promise and never kept it. But did you know that God never makes a promise that he won't keep? Did you know that? God is always true. Always. You can trust him for your salvation because the Bible says that once you're saved, you are in the hand of God and nothing can take you out. That's called eternal security. It's real. That's what the Bible says. When God makes a promise, he keeps it. So God's promises are often called covenants. So when God makes a promise, he says, it's so important, I'm going to give it a name. So you remember the Mosaic covenant, the Abrahamic covenant. Well, we get here, he says, Jesus, thou son of David. There's something in the Old Testament called the Davidic covenant. God promised David that someone in his lineage, his line, would always sit on the throne of Israel. Jesus is the fulfillment of the Davidic covenant that God promised to David. And Bartimaeus says, Jesus, thou son of David, I know it's you. I trust that you're the one that's going to fulfill the promise. Bartimaeus knew that Jesus could help him. I mean, maybe he'd been to other doctors before. I mean, not every doctor is worth his weight, right? I'm sure you've been to some doctors and you're thinking, did you go to Fisher Price University? Where did you study? Maybe he went to other doctors and they couldn't help him. Maybe he'd gone to somebody and they were of no avail. Maybe he spent all of his living and they couldn't help him. Well, he hears that Jesus is coming by. But you know what's interesting? It says in the text, and many charged him that he should be quiet. Think about this. Bartimaeus is sitting on the highway side begging. All of these people are coming by. They've got animals. They've got donkeys. They've got, you know, bags over their animals. They've got food. He hears the bleeding of the animals. Here comes Jesus and his disciples, all of his apostles, and they're coming by. And many are saying, shh, Bartimaeus, Jesus doesn't have time for you. Jesus has other stuff that he's got to go, right? I use this illustration at camp. The kids thought this was funny. Peter's going to get out. He's, Jesus, I'm looking at my sundial and we're late, you know, like we got to go. They said, shh, Bartimaeus, be quiet. Jesus doesn't have time for you. We've got more important things that we got to do because we got to get to Jerusalem. We got to go here. We got to meet with the Sanhedrin. We got to go to the temple. We got to go there. We don't have time for you. Did Bartimaeus be quiet? No, he wasn't quiet. The Bible says that he cried again. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. He cried again. Can I encourage you that when you have a problem and you want a remedy, can I encourage you to go to Jesus? Jesus has an answer for every problem that we have. Now, it may not be specifically chapter and verse and line in the Bible, but the principles that God gives can govern your life. Who is leading your life? It better not be your pastor. He's a wonderful man, but he wouldn't want to lead you. Your spouse better not be leading you. Your children better not be leading you. The president better not be leading you. Please, dear God. God should be leading you. God should be guiding you. If you have a question, if you have a problem, if you have an issue, go to God. That's what Bartimaeus did. Many said, shh, be quiet, be quiet. No, Jesus, have mercy on me. I need help. That's what he did. Many charged him that he should be quiet. I don't know if you write in your Bible. I like to write in my Bible. But if you write in your Bible, let me encourage you to underline, star, highlight. Do whatever you can for these next four words. These are my favorite words in the whole passage. Here they are. And Jesus stood still. Aren't you glad that God has time for people who have problems? Aren't you thankful that Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem? Everywhere Jesus went, he was on a mission. Jesus was never lazy. He was always doing something. He was always about his Father's will. But it says there, and Jesus stood still. Can you imagine the other disciples, what they said? Oh, Jesus, are you okay? You got a rock in your sandal? What's going on? Are you hungry, Jesus? Or do you need water? You got to go to the bathroom? Like, what's going on? Are you okay? And he stops. And the Bible says that Jesus called for Bartimaeus to come to him. That's what it says. It says, and Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. Verse 50, and he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus stood still. Here's your next blank. Bartimaeus came when Jesus called. Bartimaeus obeyed. He accepted the invitation. It says, Jesus stood still. He calls for him, be of good comfort. He calleth thee. He, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. Beggars wore a special garment. If you were to play for the Iowa Hawkeyes, how do I know you're on that team? Because you wear a jersey that identifies you as the team that you're playing. Beggars did the same thing. They had an attire that would identify them, who they were. Now, this is all that Bartimaeus had. It says that he left his garment, okay? He would have had one garment. And if it comes off of him, he's blind. If it comes off of him, he can't find it anymore. Because normally you got to hold on to it. Otherwise, if you can't see, you're looking all around. Where's it at? He wouldn't have it. The garment was what kept him warm at night. It's what would have shaded him from the hot sun. It's what would have kept the dust out. This garment meant everything to Bartimaeus. And what does he do? He throws it off. He said, oh, no, I'm asking for Jesus. I've got a problem. I want him to heal me. I want him to help me. I want him to fix me. He called me. I'm going to Jesus. And the Bible says that he came and he went to Jesus. Now, I want you to picture this, okay? If Bartimaeus, the Bible says that he was sitting by the wayside begging. He was sitting, okay? If Jesus and all his apostles are coming through, I mean, there's a whole entourage. He hears that it's Jesus. He takes off his coat. He comes to Jesus. Now, I can only imagine he's not going to stand up. A blind person would not be very sturdy on his feet if he can't see where he's going. So this is what I tend to think. I tend to think that Bartimaeus takes off his coat and he finds Jesus. Oh, there he is. There he is. And he's got a hold of him, right? Because Jesus stood still. He begs Bartimaeus to come by him. And I have to think that Bartimaeus is holding on to him, right? Because he can't see. So he's got to have something tangible that he can hold to. And as he's holding on to him, he left his coat. Jesus asks him a question. Verse 51. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. So what's Bartimaeus? Bartimaeus is down there. He's holding on to Jesus. He's got him by the hem. And he says, Jesus says to Bartimaeus, what can I do for you? How can I help you? What do you want? Do you know that Bartimaeus could have asked for anything? He could have said, you know what, Jesus? I haven't eaten in a while. Could you just make me some food? He could have said, you know, I can't really work. Can you just give me a bunch of money so that I'm good for the next year and I won't have to beg? Probably he had no family around because family would have disowned him. He was blind. I mean, that's an ailment. That's something that's not going to be helpful to the family. It's actually going to be a disgrace to the family. So he says, Jesus says, Bartimaeus, what should I do? You know what Bartimaeus asked for? He said, Lord, I want to see. That's what I want to do. In the Greek, that word, Lord, I want to see, it's one word. It's the word anablepho. It literally means, Lord, I want to see. In medicine, if you have an eye infection, it's called blepharitis. So many words have parallels. It's anablepho. Lord, I want to see. He could have asked for anything, but he asked for something that was on his heart. That's what he asked for. This is great. The story gets better. Don't go anywhere. Jesus said, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight. I mean, can you imagine that? He's down there. He's holding on to Jesus. Jesus asked him what he wants. He said, Lord, I want to see. And Jesus said, go your way. Your faith made you whole. Your faith. Bartimaeus was blind, right? The Bible says immediately he received his sight. Watch this. As he's holding on to Jesus, he's got him by the hem of the garment. What happens? He gets his eyesight. Watch this. What's the first thing he saw? He saw Jesus. As he's down there begging, he sees Jesus. This one that he's heard about, he's heard all the miracles, and now he wants Jesus to help him because he had a problem. And now he's there, he's holding onto his garment, and he opens his eyes, and there's Jesus. I can't wait to get to heaven. I can't wait to see Moses and Solomon and Samuel and Daniel, and I can't wait to see Peter and all them. I can't wait to see them. But you know what? I can't wait to see Jesus. I can't wait to see the one who loved me, who died for me. I can't wait to just say for the rest of eternity, thank you. Thank you for doing that for me. I deserve a pit of hell. Lake of fire, bottomless pit, where the fire is not quenched and the worm dieth not, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Hell is so real. The Bible tells us more about hell than it does about heaven. I think because God doesn't want us to go to hell. He wants us to go to heaven. And heaven will be a forever revealing of the goodness and the grandeur and the mercy and the grace of God. We will never know all about God. Did you know that? If we knew all about God, we'd be God. All of eternity, we will be learning about God. You didn't know you were going to be a lifelong student, did you? Bartimaeus is there. Immediately he receives his sight. But it doesn't stop there. You notice what it says. It says, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. He followed him. That was eventful. Bartimaeus followed Jesus. He followed him. I mean, Bartimaeus could have done anything. He could have tried to go back to his family. He could have said, oh, I can see now. I'm going to try to get me a bride. He could have said, I'm going to go to school and I'm going to try to get a job. I'm going to try to earn an education. He could have done anything. He could have gone anywhere. But what did he do? It was so important to Bartimaeus that he followed the one who changed his life. He followed Jesus. That's what he did. He followed him. He could have gone anywhere. He's never seen before. That's what trees look like. Those are what the rocks look like. What are those white things in the sky? What is that? Oh, those are clouds? Wow. Those are trees? Oh, that's what a human being looks like. Oh, I've heard about Peter. Oh, that's what Peter looks like. Oh, he's never seen before in his life. and he followed Jesus. That's what he did. Can you imagine what the disciples thought? They told him, shh, be quiet. Jesus doesn't have time for you. Now Bartimaeus is in the crowd. Now Bartimaeus doesn't have to hold on to somebody. He doesn't have to grab the arm of another man or hold on to the donkey and keep going. He can walk by himself. He can go. He can follow them. Can you imagine what the disciples were thinking? Oh, I've never seen that before. I remember when Jesus, you know, he spit on the ground and he made clay and he put it in that guy's eyes. And then he had to do that a couple times and then he wiped it away and then he could see. But boy, I've never seen Jesus do this. You imagine the crowd that would have gathered. Can you imagine all the people that would have been around there to see this? Okay. He followed Jesus in the way. The Bible says in John 10:7, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they hear me. Did you know that God knows you? One cell of the human body is more complex than 50 billion computers that Bill Gates would ever hope to make. One cell. In your eye alone, you have 10 trillion cells just to look at color. They're called cones. 10 trillion cells to look at color. If you're not colorblind, you could see 50 different shades of green and your eye could recognize them. That's just your eye. If your heart, if you live to be 70 years old, your heart will pump enough blood to put gas in 10 million cars. The blood vessels in your body, if you were to put them end to end, to end to end, it travels 66,000 miles. That's enough to go around the center of the earth twice. Your heart pumps enough blood through all your body. It takes 20 seconds for one blood cell that starts to go all the way through, come down, and come all the way back. 20 seconds. The average heart beats 100,000 times a day. One day. And those of you that have had many birthdays, a whole lot more than that has been adding up. The Bible says that God knows you. He knows you. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. And it's nice that God knows us. That's wonderful. I have a question for you. Do you know God? I mean, do you know him? Do you know God? Now, I've never met the 16th president of the United States. I've never met him. I've never met him. I've never been to his grave. I've never seen him. But I know his name was Abraham Lincoln. I know that. I know things that he did. I know things that he wrote. I know things that he was a part of. But I've never met him. But you know what? I can know more about him by spending time in things that he's done. Did you know that you can know Jesus Christ personally? The Bible says in Proverbs 18:24, there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Usually blood relatives are usually pretty close. But the Bible says that there's somebody even closer than that. That's the Lord Jesus. It says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. Question, who are you following today? Who are you following? Because everybody's following someone. Are you following the newest tabloids in Reader's Digest? Are you following the horoscopes that are printed in the paper? Are you following CNN that stands for Constant Negative News? What are you following? Follow the Word of God. That never changes. Some people say, well, the Bible is a science textbook. No, it's not. Science textbooks change all the time. God's Word never changes. Never. My sheep hear my voice. They know me and they follow me. Some people say that sheep are dumb. I don't know if I'd say that sheep are dumb, but you know what I do know? Sheep need a leader. Sheep are natural followers. They're naturally. Now, if they all get to the edge of a cliff and they all jump off, well, then I would categorize them as dumb, right? But sheep just need a leader. So if you have a wise leader, the sheep will follow a wise leader. If Jesus Christ is your personal Savior, if the Bible says that you are a child of God, then you are a sheep. Who is your shepherd? If it's Jesus Christ, he'll never lead you to a place that will be bad for you. God does everything for a purpose, and it's always right. God doesn't make mistakes. As a doctor, I don't ever want to make a mistake, but I can. I have. God doesn't. God's the great physician. He does heart surgeries all the time. The first open heart surgery was performed by a doctor named Christian Bernard in Cape Town, South Africa. You know why they wouldn't let him do it in America? Because they said it wouldn't work. He said, okay, that's fine. I'm going to fly all my entire hospital. We're going to fly down to Cape Town, South Africa, and we're going to do it. The lady that he did the heart operation for, she lived 18 days, and then she died. 3 days after the open heart surgery was done in Cape Town, they did it in America. Why did they do it? Because they saw it could be done. You know the work that God does in your life? People say, oh, God could never do that for me. God could never work in my life. God could never do something in my heart. God could never do that. Oh, wait a second. Well, I don't know about that, but can I tell you what God did for me? It was the most precious thing yesterday when we were at camp. I had sent out a massive text to a whole bunch of people. I'd sent out all kinds of correspondences. I sent a text to people all over the country, all over the world. There were people praying for that weekend that was there this past weekend. It was the last session. We were getting all done. And I asked if everybody was for sure, absolutely 100%, if they knew they were going to heaven when they died. If they knew it, I asked them if they did. A lot of people raised their hand. And I said, thank you for your honesty. I said, is there anyone here that doesn't know for sure that if they die today, they don't know if they'd go to heaven? There was one young lady that raised her hand. When it got all done, I got to take her aside, and we just sat right in the front. I just opened the Bible, and she gloriously asked Jesus Christ to save her. Do you know? The Bible says that there was joy. There was a party in heaven. There was joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repented. So all those people that were praying yesterday, all over the world, the Bible says that God will add that fruit to their account. Prayer works. Prayer changes things. Who are you following? Who's your master? Bartimaeus followed Jesus. There's coming a day where our life will end. Are you going to have regrets about how you spend your life? You know where Jesus was going? He was on that road. You know where he was going? He was going to Jerusalem. You know what they were going to do in Jerusalem? He was going to go before the Sanhedrin. He was going to go before Pilate. He was going to go before them. You know what they did to him? They crucified him. He died. Now hear me out. If Bartimaeus hadn't have called, if Bartimaeus hadn't have cried, if he would have just kept quiet when they said, shh, you just be quiet. If Bartimaeus hadn't have cried, listen to me, he could have missed his chance. Jesus was going to be crucified. Jesus would never walk the Jericho road again. Never. He went that way and he went to the cross. I don't know if this is true or not, but I have to believe that Bartimaeus never left the side of Jesus. I mean, what did he have to lose? I tend to think that Bartimaeus was there at the crucifixion. Can you imagine his eyes to see that? Your hand has 27 bones in it. I tend to think that when the Lord Jesus was crucified, I tend to think that the nails wouldn't have gone there, wouldn't have held the weight of his body. I tend to think it would have went right there. You have your radius and your ulna, I think it would have been right there. And as he hung on that cross, did you know that the Bible says that when we get to heaven, we will get to see the marks in his body. Did you know that? We will get to see that. There was a man in the Bible. His name was Thomas, often called Doubting Thomas. He said, I'm not going to believe unless I see. Yeah, Jesus has risen? Yeah, sure. I'm not going to believe it unless I see it. Jesus said, okay, Thomas, behold my hands. Look, it's me. It really is me. If Bartimaeus had been quiet, Jesus would have kept going. And Bartimaeus could have missed it. I don't want any of you to leave here today. I don't want you to leave here today without knowing for sure that your sins are forgiven and that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt as much as you possibly can know that Jesus Christ is your Savior, and that when your heart stops and you go spend eternity forever somewhere, it will be with Jesus because he's your Savior. If you don't know that for sure, then don't leave. Don't leave today without knowing that. Because listen, I don't want your blood on my hands. I can do surgery and I've had blood all over me, but that's something I willfully chose, and then I cleaned it all off and I'm good. But listen, I don't want your spiritual blood on my hands. I don't want it. I don't want it. I want clean hands. I don't want it. Bartimaeus cried. Jesus stopped. He stood still. Jesus takes time for one person who's got a problem. You think, oh, God doesn't have time for me. Oh, yes, he does. Yes, he does. He's the God that parted the Red Sea. He's the God that made the sun stand still. He's the God that made the donkey speak to Balaam. He's the God that made the walls of Jericho fall down flat, except Rahab's part. He's the God that owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And the Bible said he holds the whole world in the palm of his hand. That's the God we serve. Bartimaeus knew that Jesus was going. He went to the cross. As he hung on that cross, I can only imagine that Bartimaeus could hear when Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." I'm sure it didn't make sense to Bartimaeus, because we know Scripture says it didn't make sense to all the apostles. It didn't make sense to all them. But just because it doesn't make sense to us doesn't mean it doesn't make sense to God. Just because you're going through a rough time and it doesn't make sense to you, it doesn't mean it doesn't make sense to God. God isn't surprised by what you're going through. Bartimaeus was there. These were three things that I left with the young people yesterday, and I'd like to leave them with you, if that's okay. Some of you were there at the camp. Life choices. Number one, I want to encourage you to live for God. No matter what you do, no matter how many birthdays you've ever had, or how many more you're going to have. Number one, live for God. Don't live for money. Don't live for fame. Don't live for fortune. Don't live for a whole bunch of letters behind your name. Don't think that you're going to go out and money is the God that you need to serve. Don't live for that. Live for God. What if this world falls apart? If you lose everything, what if the tornado would have grabbed your whole farm? It would have took your whole house, everything, and it was just you. If you had God, you'd still be okay. Live for God. Young people, give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Charles Spurgeon was preaching in a meeting, and at the end of it, he said, somebody came up and asked him and said, "How did it go?" He said, "Oh, it was wonderful. 1.5 people got saved." 1.5 people. "Oh, it was great. We had a great time. 1.5 people got saved." What do you mean, 1.5 people? "Oh," he said, "well, we had one adult and one child." Oh, well, the adult is one and the child is half. He said, "Oh, no. That adults live most of their life. They're the half. The child is one." I want my children at a young age to know that Jesus loves them and he cares for them and he died on the cross for them. I don't want them to make the same mistakes I did. You Sunday school teachers, you have an unbelievable job instilling in these young people's lives that God is real. Live for God. Not only that, but number two, live in the Word. Live in the Word. You wouldn't go a week without eating food unless you're purposely fasting for a reason. You wouldn't do that. But yet how many times do Christians, we skip the Word, we skip the Word. "Oh, I know enough to get me by." Really? Do you live on crumbs throughout the day for food? No. You eat a full meal. So go to the Word of God. How many people have one page of Scripture all over the world and they're so thankful? "Give it to me. Oh, I want the page." "No, I want the page." "Well, we'll rip it in half. You can have half and I'll have half." How many Bibles do we have at home? I hope none of you did this today. "Oh, I got my Bible." Blow the dust off. I'll come to church now. Live in the Word of God. Live it. If you can read English, even if you can't, you've got a phone that has an app, and Alexander Scorby will be happy to recite it for you, or whoever else you choose. Live in the Word of God. Live in it. And lastly, live for others. Live for other people. Life is not about you. Life is not about all what you want and what you're going to get and your comforts. give, give, give. Jesus's life was not about him. It was about other people. Is there something that you need to do for somebody else that you've been waiting for? Ah, I just don't know if I should. I don't know if I want to. Let me encourage you that if God's prodding your heart, live for other people. There are times in my life that I've made decisions that I regret. But I never regret the times that I live for God. Never. Never. I'm ashamed for the things that I've done for myself. But as God knows, we need to live for God, we need to live in his word, and we need to live for other people. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes, please. This is the first time I've had the privilege to meet so many of you. It's been a wonderful time here. But I would be remiss if I did not give you an opportunity, if you are not saved, that today is your best day to get saved. Don't put it off till tomorrow. You're not promised tomorrow. Your heart might stop beating today. You will spend eternity somewhere. The Bible doesn't say anything about purgatory. There's no middle ground. Once you die, you will stand before God and you will give an answer for how you've lived this life. There's no middle ground. I'm not trying to scare you into heaven or scare you out of hell. I'm just trying to offer you the Lord Jesus Christ. He loves you. He died for you. If you have questions about salvation, go to your pastor. Go to your pastor's wife. They love you so much. If there's never been a time in your life where you've asked the Lord Jesus Christ to save you, and you would like to trust Jesus as your Savior right now, would you raise your hand? I'm not going to embarrass you. I will not call you out. I won't make it embarrassing. I love you. I want to help you. I want to give you the truth. Is there anyone here that would say, I need to get saved today? Would you raise your hand? Dear Christian, is the Lord working on something in your life? Give God your whole life and you'll never regret it. You'll never regret it. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the time that we've been able to have here. Thank you for these dear people. God, I pray that you would bless this church for years to come. Thank you for the lighthouse that it's been for so long. Lord, I pray that you would continue to encourage and strengthen these dear people. Thank you for the story of Bartimaeus and how we can apply it to our lives. Lord, thank you for the time that we've been able to be here. Lord, I pray that you were pleased with what was said today. May you seal your word in our hearts, and we will trust you for the results. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.